Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish, having started with the Spirit? Are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, well then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declaring the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed.
We are in the seventh Sunday, or the seventh week of the season the church calls Eastertide, and I want to remind you of the lessons that we've had throughout the course of the Eastertide season. Week one was Easter Sunday, the Sunday that we were reminded that Easter happened at the beginning of a new week, at the dawn of a new day. We were encouraged to be reminded that there is always an opportunity for a fresh start, for a new beginning, to start anew and to live into the fullness of life that God has for each and every one of us. We were reminded that week of resurrection power, that even when that newness of life, that new beginning seems impossible, even when those voices in our head tell us that it's just not practical, that the Word of God says all things are possible to him who believes. Lesson two was the reminder that Jesus walks alongside us each and every day, although we often fail to recognize Jesus for who he is. We are encouraged to invite Jesus into every area and aspect of our lives so he doesn't just walk right on by. He is waiting for that invitation from each and every one of us. The lesson number three was that, like Stephen, we are encouraged to live lives that look like Jesus. We are supposed to be mirror images of the stories and the lessons that we learn about him. We are to be faithful, forgiving. No, I thought it was amazing that what we would think would just be the end of the gospel story, as Christians watched the martyrdom of Stephen, as they watched this person who stood up for what he believed in be killed, that wouldn't put a cease or an end to the spread of the good news. And the absolute contrary happened. The gospel was encouraged or enabled by that action to spread into the places that Jesus had said that it would spread. Week four, we were reminded that God welcomes the outcast, that through Jesus, access to God was provided for all, but first and foremost, to those who have been pushed aside, excluded, told that they're not worth as much as the rest of us. Week five, we studied the council at Jerusalem, and we learned that faith brings identity both to the Jew and to the Gentile. That identity is not found in our acts, but our identity is found in faith in Jesus Christ. Week 6, last week, Kyle Maxwell taught you about the conflict between Paul and Peter, and Paul called Peter out for his hypocrisy, reminding him that faith is evidenced in the way that we live our lives, that we can't say one thing and do another, that it all should line up. And this week, in the 7th Sunday of Eastertide, and notice I don't say the final Sunday because every Sunday is a celebration of Easter, but this is the 7th week that those lessons of Easter wash over us like an incoming tide and just douse us with the truth that we're supposed to apply to our lives. We'll hear the story of Paul, where he continues with the Galatians, and we will be encouraged to get into that wheelbarrow. Before we get there, let's have a word of prayer. Spirit, we pray that you lead us into truth, and we pray that you give us courage to do more than just say, yeah, we believe. We pray that you help us to live like people who believe, that through Jesus we might be guided into perfect unity. It's in the name of Christ we pray these things. Amen. You may have noticed at the beginning of that passage that Paul seems a lot frustrated. This is not a new issue. He has been dealing with various people in various places about this same problem. And you can sense Paul's frustration as he begins with, "You foolish Galatians, you foolish people." Anybody who has been involved in church and in Christianity for a long amount of time can find that understandable. There are times when we get frustrated that what seems clear and evident to us is not clear and evident to somebody else, that somebody has been walking in faith for such a long period of time still thinks this when you are absolutely convinced that what the word says is that. And yet, please notice that Paul doesn't give in or give up. He continues to fight the good fight. He says, "Have you been bewitched?" Which is just another word for brainwashed. Who has brainwashed you? I want to ask you the question, have you been brainwashed? Because I'm going to tell you, in my faith journey, there are times when I know I would have to answer, yeah, I was. I thought something because that's what I had been told, only to find out later that that was contrary to what the word says. That's faith, people. That's the way that it works. We have to be open to this evolution that God works in and through. We don't get it all right from the beginning. That's what faith is. It's a journey into the truth. Not everything we were told and accepted and believed is always right. It's a process. We have to be continually open to the Spirit of God working in and through the Word of God and the people of God and the experiences of God. Sorry, I totally lost my place in where I was. And he says, "Have you been brainwashed?" And I want to ask you, have we been brainwashed? And you don't look at the person next to you and say, "Well, yeah, you probably, there are a few things that you're just not getting right. Let me tell you the way that it is." That encouragement is for each and every one of us to examine our hearts and our minds continually and constantly and ask God, "Is what I believe the truth? And am I opened to be guided into the truth?" Notice that Paul doesn't continue to criticize or correct. He calls to remembrance the best parts of their story, those Spirit-filled miraculous moments. You know, church can be frustrating. It can also leave us raising our hands in celebration, grateful to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. What are those moments for you? What are those moments when God showed up and just did something incredible and left you in awe? And we're quick to forget, aren't we? It's important to take time to remember. And it's important to share those stories and those moments with others. And it's important to remind ourselves, just like Paul reminded the Galatians, we don't create those moments. God does. It's not in our hands or by our actions, but we can't sit idle. And Paul says, did you experience so much for nothing? This is not right. I am not in the right place doing the right thing, so I'm going to back up. And we're just going to go with Scripture. Will you pause with me in prayer? God, I don't know what's going on here, but I know that you're present. And I pray that you work in and through this lesson and guide us into perfect truth. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I apologize for whatever just happened there, but we are going to get back on track. All right? And I'm going to figure out what went on with what I did. I don't know. Well, I don't know, but we're going to back up and we're going to figure out what's going on and we're going to fix it. All right. Let's get to the second part of Scripture.
Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
So Paul makes a point . I wonder if any preachers ever had this happen before. God, all we are is vessels. You've given us a story and a truth to share with the world. And I don't know what's going on here, but my faith and my confidence is in you. My hope is in you. And so I pray that you guide us all into perfect truth and unity. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, whoever would imagine that that could happen? Paul gets frustrated and he says, "You foolish people, who has bewitched or brainwashed you?" I'm just looking at my notes, and I'm just going to read what my notes say. God calls us to remember the best parts of our story, those spirit-filled, miraculous moments. Church can be frustrating, but it can also leave us raising our hands in celebration, glad to be part of something bigger than ourselves. What are those moments for you? What are those moments when God has shown up and done something so incredible that it's just left you in awe? Because we're quick to forget, aren't we? And it's important to take time to remember and share those stories with others and to remind ourselves, just like Paul reminds the Galatians, we don't create those moments. Maybe that's the reminder I needed this morning. We don't create those moments. God does. And it's not by our hands or our actions, not that we can sit idle 100% of the time. It's the work of God and the amazing things that God allows to happen. And Paul says, did you experience so much for nothing? If it really was nothing. And I can relate to this too, because there are those times that you ask, does anybody listen? Does anybody care? Does anybody change? Does my faith even make a difference? And the answer is maybe not. But you get the opportunity to be God's vessel, God's hands and God's feet, and that is never nothing. It's the most important work that you'll ever do. No, Paul makes his point by using scripture about Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Scripture foretold that all through all nations, Gentiles would be justified by faith. God had a plan that was being worked out all along. And he says, you'll be blessed if you believe it. Maybe I just needed that reminder. God has a plan. And it's being worked out all along. Do you believe it? Let's watch the second portion of Scripture.
Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
So what then is the purpose of the law? You know, there was never anything bad about the law. We can't belittle or ignore the Old Testament as if God were less sophisticated way back in the beginning. God's plan all along was that the two would go together. That was exactly what God intended. Before faith, we were imprisoned by the law, but it guarded us until faith would be revealed. Law was our disciplinarian, our tutor. That was the role of an ancient tutor. It wasn't the teacher. The tutor would sit with the student, would actually live with the student, would wake up with the student and prepare him to go to school, would walk with the student to school, would take him into the classroom, would be there throughout the course of training and understanding, would make sure that he paid attention to the teacher and would be a part of the lessons and the learning himself, and then would take him back home and reinforce those lessons. That's what the law did for us. That's what the law does for us. The law guides us into an understanding that we need a Savior. The law guides us to Christ. The law is good. It always was, it always has been, it always will be. But the problem is that we aren't. We are not innately good. We have this inability to follow the letter of the law, but that doesn't negate the law or make the law bad. The law reveals to us a need for a Savior. It says we have been baptized in Christ, and it's not talking about water baptism here. It's talking about looking like Christ. It's talking about being covered in Christ. It's talking about being clothed with Christ. You know, in ancient customs, there were clothes for boys and there were clothes for men. And when you went into baptism, you left your clothes on the side of the bank and you got out and you put on your new clothing. And that's what the law was intended to do for us. We were baptized in Christ. Not water baptism, but we look like Christ, we're covered in Christ, we're clothed with Christ. Those ancient customs of being baptized are the same things that should be applicable for us today. We need to look different. We need to act different. We are different. We aren't restricted by the law, but we choose to live by the law as often as we can, trusting that God loves us and that God wants the best for us, that He wants us to live our best lives. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I don't have to tithe. I don't have to serve. I get to go to church. I get to read my Bible. I get to pray. I get to tithe and be a part of the work that God's doing in the world. I get to serve. Following the law is and always has been in my best interest because God loved me and God gave me the law. And God understands that I'm human and I fall short and I fail. My salvation, it doesn't come through following the letter of the law, but that doesn't negate that the law is good. It always was, it always will be. It was never intended to work that way. The law was never intended to be our salvation. It was intended to be our guide, to guide us into the need of a Savior. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in Jesus is what brings us into perfect unity, where no one is any better than anyone else, where no one is more important than anyone else, where no one matters more than anyone else to God, where we are one in Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, then you are Abraham's offspring. Offspring and heirs to the promise. These are the things that you inherit. A land, which means you now have a place to belong. Descendants, which is another word of you have hope and a future. You have blessings and redemption. You have love that is ever and always with you, and forgiveness for those times when you fall flat on your face. And you say, oh, we believe. We believe. But do you? Do you believe? Do you believe enough that you're willing to get into the wheelbarrow and be pushed across the tightrope? Are you willing to remain open to God's relentless efforts to supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among us? Being one with Jesus, that's scary. Even though it's a beautiful gift from God and one of God's promises that endures throughout Old and New Testament, from Abraham to today and into the years to come. God is ever and always faithful, and we will fall, and we will fail, and we will come up short. But our God is ever and always faithful. May His good and perfect will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.